Love is possibly one of the most overused words in our language each day. We use the same word in the phrase, I love cheeseburgers, the same way that we say I love you to a person we really care about. Episode 22 will discuss love as one of the seven ironclad Christian characteristics. So we're going to look at understanding that the Bible is written in two languages, Hebrew and Greek, and that love usage in these two languages varies and has multiple words for one word that we use each day. If we're going to reach the world and tell them about who Jesus is, we must let them see this spirit of love in us. Paul the Apostle usually dictated to someone to write his letters, and in 1 Corinthians 13, it's written in a different rhythmic way. Let's look at this chapter of 1 Corinthians to gain a better understanding of how we as Christians are to love. Welcome to Bear His Cross, a Christian podcast that strives to help you develop and build your daily walk with Jesus Christ through biblical lessons and teachings. Join me each week to help develop and grow your daily walk with Christ through biblical discussion, lessons, and teaching to help us to be a light to those we encounter in the world that we walk and live in. Welcome back to another podcast episode. I'm David Marks, and I'm so glad you're joining us. So as we begin today's podcast, I want us to look at the content in which Paul was writing to the Corinthians, because it does apply and it's very important. Paul explains that the Corinthians have many abilities. The Corinthians, much like many today, were very self-seeking, and that's something that overwhelms us sometimes. Sometimes we even walk into that and don't even see it coming, that we begin to think a lot of ourselves. And we need to take a step back sometimes and remember that as we continue to grow as Christians and to try to reach the world, that we're to let Christ increase and ourselves decrease. Paul even wrote that. See, when we show people a clear reflection of Jesus Christ, we're going to show agape love, which is, of course, the part of the podcast today that we're going to study. So let's not get confused by knowing what the Corinthians were dealing with, and that it actually applies today as we look at our lives. It's also important to note that we remember in Galatians 5:22 that the first fruit of the spirits is love. When we have love in our life, the other spiritual gifts will follow, those joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. When we have love applied in our life, those spiritual gifts will abundantly come out of us and will show to others. Paul first defends his statement in 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. This is what he said. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. This is a very strong statement from Paul. It was the reality that we as believers all have spiritual gifts. You have a better gift than I have, and I have a better gift than you do, and God gives us those gifts to go out and do the work, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world we live in today. But having spiritual gifts, however, does not guarantee that we, and I say that as Paul once said, I'm the chief among sinners, I feel like I'm the one who fails the most sometimes at this, that we're winning in the spiritual fights of life. Just because we have those gifts doesn't mean that we are winning those battles. A minister may be a gifted speaker, but without love, it's not fulfilling the initial calling that he has. Now, with that in mind, the minister may speak, but it would fall on deaf ears because of the lack of love. It may be very cold. When we think about love, we think about something warm. I do anyway, something that gives us joy, that gives us peace, of, again, going back to those spiritual gifts. But if you have a minister in a church, whether it be the pastor or whether it be a Sunday school teacher or someone who's just leading a worship service or a Bible study, if they don't do it out of love, then it's going to be cold. It's going to be something that doesn't reach the most people it can. It's just not going to be effective. Our God is a mighty God, and we know that because He gave us such a rich word as love. Now, the context which we are to serve, either in ministry or in home, family, job, or church, is to be surrounded by love. The translators of the King James Bible use the word charity for Paul's translation. The word used by Paul here is agape, and agape means affection, goodwill, and benevolence. Now, this is a quick Bible fact for you here. The usage of the word, like we're using now, when it was written in Hebrew, first appeared in the Song of Solomon. Of course, Paul writing it in Greek. Agape is purely biblical and ecclesiastical in his writing. Like I said, God gave us this rich word. This is not a word used in the romantic term, as we've stated in the introduction. Agape is a selfless love. The greatest gift ever given by anyone is agape love, and that's Jesus giving that love towards us on the cross for our sins. Jesus said in John 15, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Agape is sacrificial. It's not the funny feeling you get when you get go on a date or maybe even eat pizza. That would just be indigestion and may require some Tums. But looking at love, Paul states in verse 1 that languages without agape love is nothing. Songs written, sometimes they may have the most beautiful lyrics, the ones we sing in church, or one that you may write for your sweetheart. If you didn't write that with love, well, it's just going to fall on deaf ears. Kind words even stated are of none effect without the gift of love. See, if you say, "I love you" to someone, but you don't back that up and you truly don't mean it, well, it doesn't mean anything. And this is what we're told, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels." Now, let's stop here for just a second. Because when Paul is writing, I want to break down what he means by the tongues of men and angels, and we'll get that in just a second. "And not having charity, not having love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Now, this is a hypothetical. Paul is basically stating to the Corinthians, you say you have love, you say you love others, but it's truly not there. And as I said, it's important to note when we're talking about the tongues of angels and men. The word usage for the word tongues translated in the Greek is literally languages. On the day of Pentecost, we see an example of this. The Spirit came in, and those in the room spoke with tongues. The Holy Spirit gave the believers the ability to speak with glossa, which is the Greek word, and because they were devout Jews in the land who spoke different languages, they heard that. Without love, this would not even have been possible. Even those who were there asked the questions. In Acts 2:7, it says, "And there were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" Now, if you want to know who Galileans are, that's the redneck country folk in that region, and usually they were uneducated. See, the men that are quoting this in verse 7 are looking around. The men in the surrounding area were astonished that they had heard these redneck Galileans speak in their own language. These were not men of high degree or men of great college pedigree. These were men who literally would have been looked at as the roughnecks or the rednecks. And they were speaking in languages. This was not ramblings or babblings. These were understandable words. The words were recognizable. Now, what does that have to do with love? Agape love made that possible. It's not high degrees. It's not learning. It's not deep education. The power of agape encompassed these men, and the fruit of the Spirit burst through them like waters would burst through a dam. All because of love. Paul continues to expand on not just words, though, but on the ability to take actions. In verse 2, he states, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." He doesn't say I'm small. He says I'm nothing. Knowledge and actions from it would be nothing without love. Someone can have a great scholarly degree in Old and New Testament studies and can pronounce Hebrew and Greek much better than I can, but if they don't have love, it's worthless. Have you ever thought about many people who go and they earn a college degree and they may think that they have this great pedigree? They may think that they're above others because they have this, and we all know they exist. They tout that they're a doctor or that they have the master's in this study or whatever, underwater basket weaving. But without love, all the education and learning in the world is basically dust. It's not even worth having. The ability to have enough faith, even, that could move mountains, which is not an easy task, by the way, would be of no use if you don't have agape love. And Jesus told us in Matthew 17, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say unto the mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Without love, faith is of no use. And if we truly want to see strength in the faith that we have, we first have to have love. And I know you keep hearing me say that word. I feel like I'm just constantly repeating it. But that shows us the importance of love in our life towards other people. That we can think that we're intelligent. We can even try to break down the Bible and tell them, here's what the Greek word said. You know, I love to go back to the translations. And we can try to see what that is and explain it to people, expand upon it. But when we try to reach people without love, all the learning in the world, all the Bible study in the world, all the degrees in the world is nothing. It's dust. Even if we say we have a lot of faith and we stand for what we say we stand for and we get in that good Christian fight and we support our brothers and sisters, but if we do it without love, it's going to come to nothing. Love is essential. Paul continues in verse 3 by saying, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing." So someone who donates money but does it for the wrong intention is of no use, and I do feel like we have a problem with that today. I want to pause here and look at the word feed, by the way. The word in the Greek is somizo, which means a little bite. And there's an important reason why I stop and I look at this word, especially in the context of love. The phrase usage here is to say that someone takes all of their money that they have, everything they own, they cash out, they liquidate, they buy food, and they feed people one bite at a time. It is not simply making a check to some group who buys food, but more of an action of the individual person. The way that Paul is transcribing this, the person being spoken of does the individual action themselves, not give the money to someone who can do the task. Yet Paul is very clear that if someone were to take all of their belongings and liquidate everything and go and buy food and take that food and individually feed each person the bite of food themselves, I mean, that would take, number one, and it's impossible, but number one, that would take so much time and work that you would think, what a great person. Okay, but if they don't do it out of love, or if they do the action without love, it's of no use. Jesus taught on the giving part, by the way, in Matthew 12. And here's what it says. "And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor woman, and she drew in 2 mites, which makes a farthing. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." She did it out of love. They were just giving money. They were writing the check. They were paying their tithe. They were doing what they felt like they needed to do. And they had a lot to do with, so they could. They were writing a $2,000 check to the church every Sunday. And they were saying, yeah, you know, I'm giving this money to the church because that's what I'm supposed to do. But this poor woman here gave everything she had. When we have love applied in the actions that we take, whether it be through, you know, physically working or through donations, we are giving out of the abundance of love from our heart. And that's what God calls us to do. And think about the idea here that Jesus told them. This woman who gave very little gave more than everybody else combined. It was all in the intent which it was given. The Bible tells us clearly that God loves a cheerful giver. And this was a cheerful giver who was hungry, probably at times, but she gave all that she had out of love. Paul now continues to tell us that even martyrdom without agape love does absolutely no good. The person who does any action and does not do them out of love is wasting their time. Again, it's important to remember that agape love is the root of all spiritual fruits and gifts. A Christian should first understand that love is what motivates us. It drives us. It pushes us to serve others and to teach them about the ultimate example of love, Jesus Christ. So if you laid down your life, if you stood for Christianity, if you stood for Christian principles, and even martyrdom, being even losing your life, if you gave up your life, you laid everything down that you possibly could, that goes beyond physical possessions, that goes beyond an offering you could give, you've laid it all down, and you had your life taken for Christian stance, for a Christian principle. And we know there's people who have to do that and who have done that. But when you do it and you don't have love in your heart, then you're wasting your time. That sacrifice you made, martyrdom, was actually just something that'll fall by the wayside because you didn't do it with the right heart. And I think that's what I'm trying to drive home here with this being one of the 7 ironclad Christian characteristics. Because love itself is one of those gifts that we can't always explain. Again, as I said, it's not that fuzzy feeling that you have when you go on a date or when you eat your favorite food. Although those make us feel good, that's not the same kind of love that is here. But I do think that it can apply, and I want to leave you today with a quote from J. Vernon McGee. He said, "When a man and a woman give themselves to each other in the act of marital love, they can know the love of Christ as no one else can know it." Wow. I mean, that can just drive it home, because when you have a marriage built on agape love, then you can truly start to understand how Christ felt about us. It's no surprise to me that the writers biblically used relationship of marriage to be a good example of the relationship with Christ in us, that we, Christ is like the husbandman and we are like the bridegroom. The church is the bridegroom, and he loved us enough to sacrifice everything out of love. It's because he loved us. And that's how a marriage is established, that the husband should be that great example of love to his spouse. And when that marriage is a godly marriage, and when there's love in that marriage, you can see the fulfilling of what Christ did and a physical example of that in each day that we live in our lives. So any action taken in a marriage not done in love, as we know, even spending money or big talks, they're just of no use. You can go and buy your wife the most expensive gift, and you can tell her every day that you love her, but when you don't take the small actions and you're not self-sacrificing as Christ was, it's just going to fall by the wayside. She may even start to get where she doesn't like you. And we all know there's times your spouse is not going to. But if you don't do the things that you do for your spouse out of love, well, they're not going to like you. And again, it becomes of no use. And I do think that that is a great example. And I'm so glad that J. Vernon McGee gave us that quote. So when love is present in a marriage, the gifts just keep on giving. Let me just tell you, and the fruit of the Spirit is the same way in our spiritual life. When we do things out of love, and we do things out of the love of Christ and out of the love of others, well, those gifts, like joy, just keep giving also. So please be sure that you review our podcast and you join us for next week to continue the study in God's Word. And may God richly bless you in the love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this episode of Bear His Cross Podcast. You can always go to bearhiscross.com, where you can subscribe to our email newsletter, or find Bear His Cross on your favorite podcast provider. And once you do, please be sure to leave a review so others know what you think about this podcast.